Well, that's good stuff, isn't it, man? Praise the Lord for that. Wow, I love hearing good singing. My wife and kids sing. They sing all over the country. Brother Jenkins heard them sing many times. They've sung up at his place, and my one daughter could play the piano. And they tried to get me to sing with them for a few years, but man, they tried to teach me harmony. I don't even know who Melody is yet. So I heard she's a nice girl. My parents are physically deaf. I'm tone deaf, so I've never been able to get in that. But I sure like the sign. They S-I-G-N, or they S-I-N-G-I-S-I-G-N, so I can sign the song. Nice thing about sign is you never have to sign off key, amen. You know, one of the things that's neat about, okay, that wasn't very funny, I'm sorry, okay. Sorry, I tried. But anyway, one of the things I loved about growing up in a deaf home is people always think that there's similarities between deaf people and hearing people, and it's such a different world. My wife and I, we got ready to get married. She's like, babe, it can't be that different, the deaf culture and hearing culture. I'm like, okay. 3 months after we got married, she goes, man, where are these people from? I was like, yeah, it's a different culture. But have you ever thought about this? If you're in church and there's deaf folk in the crowd, you can't say bow your head and close your eyes at the invitation. You ever thought about that? They have to watch you. And deaf people are very blunt. They're just, that's the culture. If you gain weight, they'll let you know. You walk in the door like, man, you fat. They'll just tell you that, man. If you're going bald, they'll tell you, man, what happened to your hair, you know? And so invitations are great because I'm like, who needs to get saved? And they'll just point at people right here. They'll just point right here. They'll wave at me. Hey, right here, this guy. And he's like, me? Yeah. He smokes dope. He needs Jesus. I mean, they'll confess other people's sins in front of the whole church. And it's a pretty amazing, amazing experience. And so praise the Lord for that. But I do ask you all to pray again for that. I know I don't expect everybody to go out and learn sign language. But at least pray for them. Pray there for the Lord will harvest it. Send forth laborers, the Bible says. And there's a great need. They're very hungry for the gospel. They really are right now. And they don't hear it here. They hear it here. Yeah. And actually, the fact is, all of us hear the gospel. And that young man got saved today. Amen. Heard it here. Yeah. So praise the Lord for that. God is good. Mark chapter 7 this afternoon, if you take your Bibles and turn there. How fitting Brother Kenny and I get to back-to-back here. Thank you, Brother Jenkins. Thank you, Fellowship Baptist Church. I want to thank the Heises, too. I'm not sure if they're still in here. They're always busy and working around, but they hosted us. They hosted me last night for supper, picked me up, and they're going to take me to the airport. I do have to leave pretty quickly after services tonight. I got a crazy flight schedule for this particular weekend. It's, I guess, spring break and all that, so I apologize. I have to leave quick, but I will say this. I am very active on social media. If you're against that, then just pray for me, amen. But years ago, a preacher in Bahamas actually came up to me and said, do you have social media? I said, no, I don't really get involved with that. And he goes, I think if Paul was alive today, he'd have an account on every one of them to reach people. And when he said that, Lord just used that to speak to my heart. And so, I mean, I do it all, man. I mean, I just do. I'll FaceTube you on InstaTalk. I mean, I love it all. And active accounts on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and I sign every. You'll never see me make a video where I just speak only. You will see videos where I sign only, and sometimes hearing people get mad at me about that. Why don't you talk on that one? I said, well, yeah, hearing people got a lot more options. Deaf people hardly ever do. And when I sign and speak at the same time, that both languages are going to be compromised a little bit. I mean, you have to expect that because ASL is its own language, English is its own language, and so both languages will be compromised a little bit. So sometimes I'll do devotionals and just ASL, but I do. I'm very active on all those accounts, and especially YouTube. If you can go over there and subscribe there and learn some sign language. And I talk a lot about the Lord. I talk about my favorite subjects are faith, family, and football. And in football, it's the Florida Gators. No. Wow, that was fast. That's right, you spelled Tennessee a while ago, I know that. And they play tonight, right? They're still in the, tomorrow, that's right, they play tomorrow. I cannot believe Tennessee's still in. The Gators are already up. But we won the national championship last year, so we can't complain. But we're Duke fans here, they're Duke fans. Well, that was a close game last night. North Carolina fans, North Carolina. Tar Heels. NC State.
Yeah!
Okay, that was a few.
Yeah!
All right, very good. Very good. All right. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. I'll let you stay seated if you promise not to fall asleep on me. I make one little rule. Teenagers, if you fall asleep, I don't call you out. I'm not mean. I've never done that. Some preachers do. I just quietly come over and sit on your lap. And so you do not want to fall asleep because that would be scary for you to wake up with this big old back. Whoa, who's that guy, right? But anyway, verse 31, Mark chapter 7. Watch this, what the Bible says. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre, Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that, I love that past tense right here, was deaf. had an impediment in speech. This was my dad's favorite story, and they beseech him to put his hands upon him. By the way, my dad passed away, went to heaven May 12, 2023. My dad was born on November 14, 1939. My father never heard sound in his whole life. Never. Can you imagine that? Never heard a piano, never heard a bird sing, never heard his son's voice preach. My dad was one of those profoundly deaf people, which means he was completely deaf. Never heard sound. First sound he ever heard was the voice of Jesus. Imagine that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Verse 33. And look what the Bible says here. Look at this verse here, right? And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ear, spit, touched his tongue, and looked up to heaven. He sighed and saith unto him, in the English language, be open. Be open. Now, Brother Kenny started, this is almost a part two message with Brother Kenny. I didn't even have this on my radar to preach, and this morning the Lord really laid this on my heart to share. Brother Kenny's message, once you get right, once you say, God, search me, try me, lead me. Beautiful, Pat, beautiful message there. This is going to be the follow-up message to that. Let me just share with you quickly that, there's one of the things, the problems of churches today is we just don't see the miracles of God anymore. God's still a miracle-working God. Amen. And there's all kinds of definitions for miracles. I love this simple miracle. Here's a definition for miracle that I've always loved. I heard a preacher say this years ago, and here's what it simply says. It's something that man cannot do and only God can do. That's it. It's when man stands back and goes, my goodness, that had to be God, because no human can do that, right? Salvation is a miracle of God. If you're saved today, the salvation we had today, that's a miracle of God. And as you study the Gospels, and Brother Kenny alluded to that today, about how, think about how we have four Gospel recordings, and they say, I've heard it said before, there's only literally, including his birth, the time he was 12 years old, and the time he was an adult, there's only about 53 or 54 days recorded of Jesus' life while he was here on earth. If you actually look at it, it's only a little over 50 days. Can you believe that? So imagine, like Brother Kenny said, if every miracle is put in the Bible, the Bible says, John said, by testimony, the books of the world will not be able to contain it, right? But one of the things about a miracle of God is this. God, Jesus, especially when he's on earth, liked to be close to the people he's performing his miracles on. He loved to be close to people. I mean, remember, he spoke the universe into existence, but when he made man, he got his hands in the dirt. And all through the Gospels, I mean, there's a few times where he spoke and someone got healed, but almost every time in the Gospel, he got close enough to reach out and touch somebody. Lepers. No, you're not supposed to touch a leper, Jesus. Man, that's dangerous. Don't you know what leprosy will do? What did Jesus do? He goes and touches them. Right. And, you know, thank God for appropriate biblical touches, right? You can appropriately touch. We live in a wicked world now with a lot of wicked kind of touches. But Jesus always appropriately touched people, and he loved to be able to look in you. I think he liked to look eye to eye with you. I think he liked for you to see, look into. Can you imagine being this deaf man, being called aside from the multitude, and having the Son of God come up to you, and he looks into his eyes, makes eye contact with him, and having the Son of God heal you, the Bible says, which was deaf. I mean, a miracle happened. Here's why, ultimately, because Jesus let him in his personal space. Now, I fly a lot. I travel quite a bit. I know Brother Jenkins does too. And I lived in Missouri for 26 years. I pastored there. And so I got to where I flew Southwest a lot because Southwest has a hub there. I'm about to call Southwest and tell them I'm breaking up with you because I'm going to Delta now. But anyway, Southwest, man, they've changed everything now. They have assigned seating. And for 20 years, Brother Jenkins, I've always been able to sit on the aisle or the window. When you're a big boy like me, and yesterday for the first time on one of my flights, I had to sit in the center seat. I've never sat in the middle seat. And you say, that poor you. No, poor the person on the aisle in the window. I mean, those two ladies were like, oh, no. Every time I walk down a plane aisle, people look, oh, no, not the big boy, not the big boy. They want me sitting in the middle of that. That's why I always sit in the aisle of the window, man. I mean, because I can, you know, I can have more space. I can spread out a little bit. But we're Americans. We don't like people in our personal space, really. We really don't. And teenagers, listen, here's the deal. We want Jesus to be close enough to us. We can cry out to him when we have problems. We don't want him so close that he knows what we're looking at on our phone. We want him in the same house, but on the same room. We want him in our churches, but on the same pulpit. Listen, that's a problem we have in America today. And that's why we don't see miracles, because Jesus Christ is found, and the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, on the front porch of his church. I mean, he could have barged in. He owns the church. He purchased it with his own blood. But the Bible says he's standing on the front door because he's a gentleman, and he's knocking, and he says this, if any man hear my voice, not knock, voice, he still calls out. And so here in the passage, we see Jesus getting into this deaf man's personal space. And here's my question to you today. Is he in your personal space? Is he? Now, let's read that verse again. I read it a while ago, and nobody seemed shocked by it, but let's just read it slowly and break it down. Look at verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude. Okay, that's not that big a deal. But he put his fingers in his ears. That's what the Bible just says right there. Jesus invented the wet willy. There it is right there in the Bible. He started the wet willy. There it is. You got Bible for it, right? He put his fingers into his ears. Look at this. He spits. Okay, that's still kind of weird. But I think the weirdest of all is this. He touched his tongue. I've had people spit on me. I've been to some football games where guys spit on me. I've had guys give me wet willies. But ain't nobody ever touched my tongue. I mean, imagine if you would have walked into service a while ago and you saw Brother Sean and Brother Kenny taking turns touching each other's tongues right now. Hey, your turn. Go ahead. That tickled. My turn. And they do. Y'all would have thought, man, what's wrong with those guys, man? You'd probably have turned around and walked out the door. You said, I ain't staying in church for that mess, man. Right? But he touches his tongue. He touched his tongue. Now watch this. At any time, the deaf person could have said, I'm done. Leave me alone. This is odd. This is awkward. And by the way, when Jesus gets in your personal space, it will be awkward at times because he knows things like Brother Kenny just preached. But I promise you this, if you let him in your personal space and he leaves, you will be changed. You'll be different than you were when he first came. In fact, we ought to get to the point now where we let Jesus stay in our personal place all the time. But in this passage here, I think we can make some applications, and I'll say some quick applications, and I'll be done because I got to catch that plane. Here we go. Number one, I want you to notice this. He took him aside from the multitude. He wants a one-on-one relationship with you. Can you believe that? The creator of this universe wants a one-on-one relationship with you. You think about this. Every night, Brother Jenkins, when I go to bed, I go to sleep. God never sleeps. He never rests. He doesn't need to. He's God. When I woke up this morning, it was almost like he was sitting at the foot of my bed saying, I'm ready, Randy. You need anything today? I'm here for you. And this morning, there in the nice prophet's chamber, they have great room over there. I got to open up my Bible, read the Bible before I got the phone, before I talked to my wife, before I texted my kids, before I talked to some church members and stuff, before I even texted Brother Kenny to say I'm praying for you as a priest, before I did any of that stuff, I got to talk to Jesus for a while. And guess what? He's never been too busy for me. He's never said stand in line. He's never said take a number. He's never said I got to talk to you. You got to talk to my secretary and set an appointment. Never. I mean, I just utter his name and he's there. I got to read the Word of God, and I read some from the Old Testament, read some from the New Testament, and guess what God reminded me? That He wants to be close to me. And hey, young person, I don't care what the devil tells you or how you feel, because a lot of times our feelings, we start to believe our feelings over our faith. I don't care how you feel. The creator of this universe wants a one-on-one relationship with you. And number two, watch this. He put his fingers in his ears. He put his fingers in his ears. All right, what's the application there? Let me tell you what's happening in our churches today. We've gotten to the point now where our ears are so full of worldly wax that we can't hear the still small voice of God anymore. Right. We need to let our ears get cleaned out. We need to let our ears get cleared out again. We need to let God come in and clear our ears out so we can hear His voice again, right? I mean, we need to be able to know, be still and know that He is God. Let me tell you something. When you start to clear those ears out again and you hear what God has to say, God reminds you that He's on His throne still. He reminds you that He is risen. He reminds you that everything's all right in my Father's house. He reminds you that He has a plan for your life. But sometimes we're listening so much to the world's philosophies, the world's music, the world's ideas. Boy, thank God for the Lawson family giving us some good, godly, Christian Bible music. Can I get an amen right there? Boy, that stirs your heart. That gets you fired up. But we're so ate up with the world today. Listen, can I tell you something? I mean, even on social media, man, Christian teenagers, they're always picking songs in the background that are worldly and the world's sounds and the world's cussing. And I mean, cussing is at an all-time high now, man. I mean, when I was a teenager, though, only certain people cussed. Nobody. Now everybody cusses and everybody listens to worldly music and everybody's losing their purity. No, not everybody is. And when your ears get cleaned out, the Holy Spirit reminds you that there's still some people that want to serve God, that love God, that have a passion for Jesus, and they will stand up for Jesus. Now, we need some Christian young men and young ladies today that'll have a passion. I mean, I'm talking about an old-fashioned passion for Jesus where you get fired up thinking about Him. But that won't happen if you got the world's wax in your ears. You're not going to hear Him. Man, God ain't been speaking to me lately. Oh, yeah, He has. You just hadn't heard Him. I go to church and God ain't. Yeah, that's because we were too busy listening to the world on Saturday night. We've been listening to the world too much.
Listen, adults, even sometimes, Fox News, no safe person should ever watch CNN or MSNBC. I'm just saying that right now. But if Fox News, and you watch the news channels nowadays, and you hear all that stuff, and you get discouraged, and you feel like, oh my goodness, the world's gone crazy. Listen, can I remind you, our God is sitting on His throne in heaven. He's never been nervous. He's never said, oops. He's never said, oh, I didn't have that on my calendar. He's never sent an angel down to Walgreens to pick up some medication to calm his nerves. He's never had anxiety. He's never been depressed. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That God is who I need to be listening to today. So number one, he took him aside for the multitude. Why? There's a one-on-one relationship he wants. Number two, he put his fingers in his ears. Why? There's things he wants us to hear again. Number three, he spits. Now, I don't know if Jesus went, I don't know if he did that. But the Bible says he spits. Now, I don't know about you, but most men, if you get spit on, usually that's a fight right there. You're gonna have a fight. But in this instance, though, I think there's a beautiful application made. Because if you back up in the same chapter here, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7 here that the Pharisees were mad at Jesus and the disciples again. And here's why they were mad at them. They were mad at them because they ate food without washing their hands. Now, I think you ought to wash your hands before you eat, although sometimes it adds flavor. Can I get an amen right there? You go to Bible college, never wash your hands because you'll need all the flavor you can get. Somebody say amen right there, okay? But they were mad at him. And so here's what Jesus says. Watch what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7 in verse 18. He says, same chapter, are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out in the drop, purging all meats. Watch what he says in verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth a man. Watch this. For from within, out of the heart, this is what Brother Ginny just talked about, of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus is saying that everything inside of us is wicked. My heart is wicked. I mean, I'm deceitfully wicked. The Bible says I'm deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? I mean, we are all sinners. There's nothing good inside of me today except for the blessed Holy Spirit of God. But wait a minute. That list we just read, none of those things was in our Savior. None of those things. So when Jesus spits, that's the application here, is whatever's inside of Jesus, I want to get inside of me. And instead of thefts and covetousness and all that wickedness, you know what Jesus is full of? He's full of joy and mercy and grace and faith and salvation and compassion. Boy, aren't you glad for that? And boy, if Jesus can spit that on me, boy, I'll take it. I need it, all the help I can get. I am a wicked sinner. I do deserve to go to hell. But thank God that He can spit on me. Paul said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. There's got to be something inside of you. And whatever's inside of Jesus, I need to get inside of me. So number one, he took him aside from the multitude, one-on-one relationship. Number two, he put his fingers in his ears. Why? There's things he's got to hear. Number three, he spit. Why? Because there's things inside of him we need to get inside of us. And finally, number four, watch this. He touched his tongue. He touched his tongue. He touched his tongue. I mean, that's just weird right there. It's weird me touching my own tongue. Look at that. This is, I can't even talk. It's hard to talk when someone touches. I can sign. Anyway, I can't talk, right? It's weird of me touching my own tongue, but he touched his tongue. He touched his tongue. Let me tell you what the application here is. Let me just go ahead and park on this for just a second. Can I just say today that one of the things that burdens me down, and I didn't get saved until I was 18 years old, so don't mind me, okay? I didn't grow up Baptist. I didn't know an independent Baptist existed until I was 18. I mean, I just didn't know anything about them. I'd heard about them. I didn't know much about independent Baptist. When I got in the independent Baptist church, boy, I thank God for it. I got saved. I started growing. But Brother Jenkins, all these years, I've always wondered why we don't have a shout in our Baptist church like we should. We just don't have a shout anymore. And I know what some folk want to say all the time. Well, Brother Randy, but I just don't think we ought to shout in church and everything. And I don't think we ought to get excited in church and everything. And I just don't think we ought to be like that. Well, how come it's okay to shout at a ball game? I just want to know that. Yeah. And look up in here. I'm going to tell you this right now. Hey, listen, it ain't quiet in heaven. That's right. It's so loud up there, my dad ain't deaf no more. Amen. I mean, it's so loud, my dad ain't deaf no more. All right? But here's the deal. I go to Baptist church all the time, and I love it. Don't misunderstand. I preach at Baptist church all the time. Here's what I say all the time. Sometimes I've been looking in the back and I'm like, that dude dead. He ain't moved for 20. He dead. He dead. I mean, I'm about ready. Hey, pastor, you better dial 911. Never mind. He just took a breath. He's still alive. He's breathing back there. I mean, we've lost our shout. My brother Andy, you don't understand. I'm an introvert. Oh, okay. You know, March Madness is going on right now, right? I watched the Florida Gators win the national championship in 2007 when we beat UCLA in Indianapolis. I was there in person, and I had a ticket, and I walked into that arena, and there was not a person that met me at the gate that said, sir, are you an extrovert or an introvert? Because we have two sections in our arena. The happy people that shout go crazy are in this section, and all the shy people sit in this section, okay? Which section? I never had anybody ask me that. Never. It's amazing we use those things as an excuse. I tell you what the problem is. We worry too much what people think about us. Did you know when we get to heaven, there'll be no more soul winning? When we get to heaven, you won't have to read your Bible anymore. When you get to heaven, you won't have to pray anymore. But I'll tell you what we will be doing. We will be praising for all eternity. So you might as well start right now. And I know what some folk think. Well, Brother Randy, don't you think people think you're crazy? I don't really care what people think. I gave a warning about that a long time ago. So here you go. Here's a somersault for you. Hallelujah. That's a little somersault I like to do in church. Well, you shouldn't do that in church. Then don't do it. I get excited about the things of God. When I was playing football and I sacked the quarterback, you better believe I got excited. When my Gators do good, football's been rough the last few years, but hey, I would cheer and get excited. Can I say something right now? Why don't we cheer? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has saved our soul. I'm not an NBA guy. I call it not basketball anymore. I'm not a fan of Stephen Curry. Stephanie Curry. I'm not a fan of Stephanie Curry. I'm just not. I miss the old basketball back in the day when you actually physical. Everybody shoots threes nowadays. But my son loves the Thunder, even when they're bad. And on his 13th birthday, I took him to the Thunder game to surprise him. We lived in Missouri at the time. 6-hour drive, went there. And there was two 75-year-old grandmas in front of us cheering for people they've never met in their life. Athletes who don't even know their name, a bunch of guys who put on silk pajamas and take a leather ball and shoot three-pointers and dunk it on a garbage can 10 feet high, and they go nuts over that, and then they come to church. Huh? The tongue, the application is this. You ready? Brag on Jesus. Why can't we brag on Jesus? Why can't we thank God for the things he's done for us? Why can't we testify anymore? Several years ago, I was preaching at a youth meeting in Texas, and I was on my way to the airport there in Missouri, and I pulled into the parking spot where you have to jump on a shuttle bus to ride to the airport, and I got on the bus, it was packed full of people, and the driver looked up at me and said, hey, you mind standing? I said, no, I don't mind standing. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Texas. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to preach. I'm a preacher. I'm speaking at a youth conference. What are you going to preach about? I said, I'm going to preach on this, and I told him, he goes, great. Hey, he gets on the CB, about a 10-minute drive to the airport. He goes, hey, I got a pastor. He's going to preach to everybody right now. Listen up to him. He put it down. Go ahead. On a shuttle bus. I'm like looking at these people. There's like 25 people just staring at me. For real? Hi. And all these people just staring at me. What'd you do? I preached. I preached on the shuttle bus. When we got to the airport, I waited till all the people got off. I said to the driver, I said, man, aren't you worried about losing your job? He said, no, I've been driving a shuttle bus for 30 years, and every time I get a new bus, I go in and say, sir, ma'am, whoever it is, I am saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to talk about Jesus all the time, and if that's a problem, let me know, and I'll quit today. I'm not saying go out and get fired from your job. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. We need to talk about Jesus a little bit more in this world today. We need to let this world know where we stand. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ, and I'm happy about it. Man, I love my Savior. I've been talking everywhere the last few months, telling everybody about my new grandbaby. Boy, I love my little granddaughter. They've been sending me pictures of her all day. Boy, me and her are real tight. When I walk in the room and she hears my voice, she starts kicking her arms and legs because she knows Papa's in the house. We are real tight, man. I can't wait till she gets older and I can take her and stick her behind my daughter's back and get her ice cream and candy and all that stuff and pick up the angel in the morning, drop off the devil at night. Man, I can't wait to do stuff like that. It's going to be awesome. The Lord smote my heart. He said, Randy, don't quit talking about me too. I was like, that's right. So you know what we're going to do? Instead of just me preaching, let's just take a few testimonies. Let's just have a few of you. Let's start with young men. Stand up anywhere all the building. Just somebody out here real quick. Stand up and shout out what's something you're thankful for Jesus done for you later. Come on. Let's start over here real quickly. Come on. Young man first. Come on. Where's the young man at? Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody stand up. Why are you pointing at? Come on. Go ahead. What you got? Yes. Hey, man. Who else? Who else in this section? Come on. I can smell it. I smell testimonies out there. Come on. There's one more. All right, we'll come back to you. What about this section? Young man right here. Where's the young man in this section? Come on. Give me a testimony. Somebody stand up. Come on.
God, show me someone loved me.
Amen. Yeah. I like it. How about this section right here? Come on.
Great youth group.
I love that. Yes, sir. Section. Where's the young man over here? Any man over here. Where's the man? Can a man just stand up and give me a testimony? Word, what would Jesus done for me? Come on. I smell one over there. Come on. Come on. I'm just going to sit here and stare at you all day. I'm going to start singing. You don't want me to start singing. There you go. Go ahead, brother.
I'm so glad that I am saved and he gave me a Bible.
Amen. Brother Jenkins, I love how our Bible church today, you say, you need prayer requests. 40 people raise their hand. Pray for my dog. He got run over by a car. We might have to cut off its back leg. Pray for my cat. You know, he don't know where to go to the bathroom anymore. Pray for my, prayer. I mean, I've heard some crazy prayer requests in my days. Hey, but let's take some praises.
Yeah.
Huh? We ought to be praising more than we're praying, actually. It's funny. We preach on prayer a lot, but not on praising a lot. Man, that's a charismatic thing. No, it ain't. It's a Bible thing.
Yes.
The Bible says praise God. Well, aren't you worried that people call you a Pentecostal? I get called that anyway. I don't care what they think. I had a man in my church in Missouri sneak me in my office one time. Come have a private meeting. Close the door and said, go ahead and admit it. You're a Pentecostal, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. He goes, I won't tell anybody. You're a Pentecostal. I said, no, I'm not a Pentecostal. Why do you ask me that? Isn't that sad? Well, Baptists ain't been shouting for a long time. Baptists ought to start shouting again. All right, anybody, young man, young lady, anybody want to give a testimony? Let's start over here. Who else? Come on, somebody. Somebody give me a testimony. Brag on Jesus real quick. Who else? Lady or man? Come on. Yes.
I thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. Go ahead. Thank God. Amen. How about you? Amen. God-fearing parents. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God for answered prayer.
Amen. That's a good answer to prayer. How about this section? Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful for my 5 siblings.
Someone that's thankful for their siblings. That's a testimony right there, man. Most people want to kill their siblings. Anyway, yes, sir.
To be raised in a Christian home.
To be raised in a Christian home. That's great. One more school. Yes, ma'am. What's that?
A great school.
A great school. And I've been to their school before. It is an awesome school. All right, this section over here. One or two more. I smell it. Come on. One or two more. Yes, ma'am.
Grateful Jesus loves me.
Yes, he loves me. Yes, thank you.
I'm grateful for my health.
Grateful for your health. Yeah, go ahead.
Life,
man. See? Talk about Jesus, man. Yeah. Use that time to testify about him, brag on him, and glorify him, and praise him, and sing to him. I would never sing in front of people like Lawson's do, but thank God don't mind. I've been driving my car by myself sometimes. I've sung so loud, I steamed up the car, I spit on my windshield, and you know who loved it? God. God, he may have actually went deaf for those few minutes, but he said, Randy, good job. He patted me on the head and said, keep on going. Hey, listen to me. I'm talking about, let's brag on Jesus. Let's praise him.
Amen.
Number one, he took him aside from the multitude. He wants a one-on-one relationship. Number two, he put his fingers in his ears because there's things he wants us to hear. Number three, he spit. There's things inside of him he needs to get inside of us. Number four, he touched his tongue. Why? So we can testify and brag on him. Here's the last thought, and I'm done. That was the last statement. Here it is. Jesus never spoke. He hadn't spoken one time in this whole story, in this whole passage. Not one time. When he finally speaks, he speaks "Ephphatha," which is translated in the English language. Two words. Be opened. That's what he says. So here's what happens. We come to youth conferences like this. We go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever. And we get all open up. Yeah, Jesus, come in my personal space now. But then as soon as we leave the youth conference, as soon as we leave camp, as soon as we leave church, we kind of push him out and say, hey, just kind of wait over there, Jesus, and I'll holler at you if I need you. And he's a gentleman. He won't make you do anything. He won't force you to read your Bible. He won't grab you by the back arm and push you on. Say, pray to me right now. He won't do that. He sure loves it when we do. So let me ask you this question. Brother Kenny preached about search me. Are you open for him to search you all the time? Am I open? Lord, search me anytime. Lord, come in my personal space anytime you want to. I want to see a miracle. You know what happened to this man that day? He left speaking clearly. He heard the birds sing for the first time. He heard his mom and daddy's voice. He heard the noise of a city. He heard his sibling's voice, maybe. He heard the sound of children laughing and a baby giggling for the first time in his life. You know why? Because he let Jesus in his personal space. You really want to make America godly again? You got to let Jesus in your personal space. You have to. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well. I'm sorry I got to leave out pretty quickly. I sure do love and appreciate y'all. Thank you again, Hyacinth. Thank you, Fellowship Baptist Church, Brother Jenkins, Lawson's. What a blessing.
Young people, look me up on social media. I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. Sure do love and appreciate y'all. Let's make America godly again. Let's let Jesus in our personal space. Thank you.